Session number 9481.
Mr. Collins, reel 3. Did you know the names of the people who were killed?
No, I don't know. They were members of the International Brigade who had been in the brigade quite a while.
What, were you told why you were being moved from Teruel to Belchite?
Yes, because they were going to attack Belchite as the fascists had moved towards Belchite in retreat.
How did you get to Belchite?
Mainly by lorries, mainly took it up there. Most of the road.
And which units were moved?
Well, the British battalions sent up, and the Americans on the Abraham Lincoln's group.
What was the setup at Belchite when you got there? How did it compare with Teruel?
Well, Belchite is wasn't such a high place as Teruel, but what we noticed that it was more of the villages, the houses were all close together, and the trouble is that we had to go house to house through Belchite. In fact, search every house that we came to, and one or two places that we went, well, one or two our men were fired on as they approached these houses. And there was fascists in the houses before they'd retreated. And quite a number of these houses were actually blasted to pieces, because the only way you could beat the fascists was to blast the houses down.
What were they blasted to pieces with?
Well, they were blown up mainly with a bugle and shell fire. The Nazis themselves, not the Nazis, the fascists themselves, has blown up some of these houses by making them possible to, almost impossible to take. You pass the house, you wouldn't know whether fascists were in it or not, because it was only when you approach the house that they fire on you.
Did you suffer any casualties from their fire?
Our branch, our brigade did. We had about 10 people taken to hospital, either taken to hospital or killed. They were put on the stretchers and rushed back, so they were either killed or taken to hospital.
Who were they? Can you remember?
Mainly them, most of them. They're mainly people who I knew were North Country people, mainly. I didn't actually know them by names. I hadn't been in the brigade long enough to really get to know them.
So was it just your company that was doing this, or the whole brigade?
It's the whole brigade, both our company, plus the Americans, and on the right, far right of us, was the Germans, the Italians, rather German anti-fascist Taubman, their brigade.
How many, what kind of numbers of the rebels were killed in this house-to-house fighting?
There was quite a number of people killed, yes. I suppose there must have been at least 20 killed during this house-to-house fighting through the town, because there was no question to give them quarter. When you got close up to them, you had to either shoot them or be shot. So if you saw anybody, fire at them. And you didn't make any bones as to how you fired at them. You just fired at them, because you knew they were firing at you.
Did you kill anybody yourself?
No, I don't think so. I have no thought. I have no idea that I did. I might have hit somebody, but I'm not sure.
Were there any civilians about?
No, not for Belchite, none at all.
How long did it take, this house-to-house fighting?
It took about a week. Until we got through Belchite, and the Italians pulled out completely, and we're going back towards Saragossa, on the Saragossa road.
What did you do then?
Well, we were then and went to the, after a short while we were called short attention by the officers in charge, and they told us what our next objective would be. That was the next place we were there to attack and try and take it, and that was the called Karatheti.
Can you tell me what happened?
It took about 2 days to get to Karatheti, and which is a small, very small town. It's a Spanish town, and the people were still there. The fascists had gone from there, and the people were very, very friendly too. When they knew we were, come out to meet us sometimes. In fact, they often brought us cups of wine or cups of something to drink. Very good. But the shelling was still going on from the fascists, so they still, and Karatheti was being shelled, and we had to go the other side of Karatheti to see if we could meet the Italians. And of course we never met them, but we knew they were there in force too. This quite a number of shells were coming over, which meant to say that they were strongly supplied by somebody, a shell fire. And I remember we were out the other side of Karatheti, and Lewis Clive was with me, and he told me how far to go, and what to look out for. And the shells all around there, so there was shells falling everywhere, and the Italians seemed to have advanced. Fire their shells would have been, they'd first of all their shells would drop out 50 yards back and 50 yards forward next time, which meant to say we're attacking somewhere. So that was Karatheti, and Lewis Clive was very good about it all. He had talked to me about what was going on, what we do when we go back to North Kensington and things like that. But he was a very good soldier, Lewis Clive. Very good soldier indeed. And I remember we had a bottle of wine with us, and we had to. He asked me to look after it for him, which I did. I put it in my pocket and tried to keep it there. Because the night time came, we had to get rid of it. Well, we had to wait at night and advance from Karatheti then. We were told that the next day we were advancing down the Saragossa road towards Saragossa, which was 15 to 20 miles away, and the object was to capture Saragossa, and that if we captured Saragossa, it meant today the Italians would be beaten, because it was their headquarters, the Italians' headquarters. There was their big army base there, and that's what we were told would happen next day. And the next day, of course, we were called up about 5 o'clock in the morning and had to go march along the road down towards Saragossa. And Wally Tapsall was leading, the officer was leading the troops down this road to Saragossa. And we got down about 200 or 300 yards down the road when the road bent around the corner. And as we went around the corner, what we saw was about half a dozen tanks there. And of course, we thought, well, there must be air tanks. Because Wally Tapsall goes up to him, bangs on with his pistol, bangs on the side of him, and says something in Italian to him.
In Italian?
They were Italian. But yeah, Wally Tapsall banged on the tanks and shouted something either in Italian or Spanish to them. And instead they just opened fire, and poor Wally went down, got shot down, and quite a number of people in line, at least 50, got killed, or were hit anyway. And because these two, there are five tanks, they just all opened fire on our groups, and the best we could do was jump over the side, get off the road into the side, away from where the tanks could shoot you. And of course, all that day we were taking up fighting these tanks and their supporters, who was supporting them. They were Italians mainly. And that went on all day long, the fighting. And Lewis Clive was the lead, taking charge of us there and directing them how we should fire and what we should do against these tanks. And about 6 o'clock in the evening, he calls out, "Well, we've got to make some sort of orderly retreat." He said, "We'll have to fall back." So we did. And we went back, not off the road, across the hills, because we knew that if we were on the road, the tanks would see you. But even walking back, we were walking back there for quite another, it must have been 2 or 3 days walking back, because I remember sleeping under these trees, so small trees, all trees growing fruit hanging on them. I think they were all the zigzag, but get them all ourselves. And they spent on for 3 or 4 days walking back, and each night we'd sleep and get ourselves covered up. And we were making back for Caricetti, but when we got to Caricetti, we found that the Italians had taken it. It's been taken over. So we had to move on to make for a place called Caspi.
How long had you been fighting the tanks for?
All that first day at Caricetti, we were fighting the tanks all the time.
How many tanks were there?
Five that we could count. Anyway. But one of the tanks had been damaged badly because he couldn't keep himself straight, and we met him as he was coming across the hill where we were, and the International Brigade members concentrated on him, and he finished up, stopped. Well, it stopped, couldn't go any further.
What type of weapons did you have to fight the tanks with?
We had rifles mainly, and one or two machine guns.
So, I interrupted you with you saying that you tried to get back to Caricetti, but it was captured by the Italians. What happened then?
Well, then we were told by Lewis Clive that we had to make our way back to a place called Caspi, which was about 20 miles down the road, and see how far we could get back and meet the rest of the battalion. We had got off before us, because when we were told to retreat, we were the only people left there then. So we had to find the battalion back in Caspi. But
who was in this group that was retreating to Caspi?
Nearly all English. They're English, Scots lads mainly. There's one or two Spaniards among us.
From which unit?
We were the British battalion, but attached to the British battalion were a group of Spaniards who were put on to us to help the brigade.
Were you from particular companies or from a mixture of companies?
We were the number 4 company, which, as I say, we were the last to leave Caricetti at all, because while taps all gone on in front, he had led them, number the first company, the Major Attlee company, and we could only see what happened to Wally Tapsall by being shot by the tanks from a distance, from at least 20 or 30 yards, or probably 100 yards back, when he was fired up by these tanks. And it was then that we were able to get off the road and fire, take up the fight against them.
How many were there in this group?
In the group, altogether, was about 30 of us.
Retreating?
Retreating, yes.
Can you remember the names of any of the others in it?
Yes, certainly. One of territory was Guy, Tom Guy.
And did you make it to Casbah?
No, because we had lost our way. We had come across a river, which we had to cross, and it was difficult to cross it. Well, some of us got across the river all right, but lots of us had to walk a long way down the side of the river to find a place where we could cross. And we'd lost the way to Casbah at all, but we marched on after we crossed the river, which we thought we were going towards Casbah, where we could see the road. And it was what we called the Valencia, what we thought was the main road to Casbah. And I remember Wally Casper, who was in charge of us at that time, said to us, well, we've got to get that road down there, but to get through there's a great valley to go through to get to the road. He said, we'll have to watch out going through, you have to go five or six at a time. So Wally Clasper and Dick Moss, well, and a group of other lads, went off on the first line, and he said, keep 100 yards apart. Then the next lot were followed by our group, followed 100 yards behind him, and I said, you wait until we've got 100 yards on, then you can follow us. So we waited, we saw them quite 100 yards away, then we began to follow them. And as we began to follow them, we got about 5 or 6 yards into this valley when machine guns opened up from everywhere. Obviously, the Italians had been watching that valley all the time, because we saw Wally Clasper go down and Dick Moss, but I was too young in as a soldier to know whether he'd been killed or not. But it seems that Wally Clasper was not killed. He had got on. He found a wagon pass, and Wally Clasper, because he was killed, Wally Clasper was killed 2 or 3 months later on the Ebro. But at that time, when we saw this, or heard these machine guns open up in us, those in my group who go back to the place where we had come from, which was a group of trees, and we got back into the shelter of the bushes there, and we started firing at the guns that were, the machine guns that were firing. We started firing at them, but we've been there for about an hour firing away, and gradually it was quiet. Suddenly it was quiet, and then there were really any warning. There was a sudden rush at us, and about 20 Italian soldiers rushed in on us with bayonets and everything. And they're firing, and they hit one or two of our lads, but they mainly, I think, weren't after to kill us. They were after trying to capture us, really, because I think that's what the Italians were after, getting people they could exchange, just because there have been some arguments in Italy about getting the troops home, and the way that I think the Italians were going to exchange them for intentional brigades that they captured, and get a lot of people transferred that way and sent home. But in this rush that these Italians made, I thought they'd miss me, and I went to walk out, back out of this group, and suddenly I had a rifle banged into my back, and somebody said, an Italian saying, well, what they think of his answer or something, at Manasariba or something. And I was captured with quite nearly all the rest of the group. There were at least 20 of us.
How were you treated?
Well, we began to think that we were lucky after a while to be in the hands of the Italians, because their attitude to us wasn't as bad as it would have been had it been the Moors, because as we were under guard by the Italians, every now and again some Moors would come along with Moors who were cavalrymen, and they had sticks, and they would come in push through Parsi, Italians, and Hitters, and Slashetta at the International Brigaders who were captured. And some of the sticks are really hurt when they hit you. And the Italians kept them away. And an Italian officer came up, and he had talked with the Italians. And next thing we saw him whipping away his Moors, telling them to keep away. And we thought we were pretty lucky in a way to be captured by the Italians, because they were a bit more decent what the Moors were. We thought, well, that's it.
And were you fed?
Not until the next day. They give us some bread. They all give us a loaf. We all give them a loaf each the next day. And then we were told that we would be taken to Zaragoza.
Were you interrogated?
Yes. They asked who we were, where we come from and all. Who sent us here and how we got there and all that business, what our attitudes were to the thing. And then they sent us to Zaragoza itself, which was a rather big town, which was quite a nice town to walk through, friendly, nice, clean town.
What did you tell them in the interrogation?
Well, that I told them the story that we decided to go to Spain on spur of the moment. After having a week in Paris, we decided with a group I had gone with to have some fun going to Paris. We didn't tell them we were anti-fascist or anything like that. So we told them that's all we were doing, passing the time.
Did they accept that?
I think so, because I told them that the group that I was with, mainly a group of students who had gone to Paris for a weekend and decided on the spur of the moment all to go to Spain.
Could they speak English?
This Italian officer could speak very well, good English. But the Italian troops couldn't. They could only speak either Italian or Spanish. But the Italian officer was very good with English. In fact, the Italians were, officers were part of a brigade which was a recognised mobile brigade, Italian Black Arrows they called themselves, which were supposed to be a class officers of the Italians.
How was the interrogation conducted?
Well, the officer that conducted me seemed friendly, very friendly, and he didn't seem to be anti me at all. But I told him exactly what we had done, how we got to Spain, and he seemed to believe it. So, and I found nothing against. In fact, he gave me a cigarette while we were talking. He was quite friendly.
Did they want any military information?
Asked them where we'd come from, what towns we had been in. And asked us about Albacete and places like that. And that's all we could tell him, really.
Did you tell him the truth, or did you tell him lies?
Well, we told him the truth. That's what we thought if it wasn't going to be any good to him, we'd tell him the truth. But we didn't tell lies at all. Other than that, getting to Spain, how we got there.
So, did they ask you about the location of units or sensitive information like that?
Yes, they did ask that, but I told them that most of them had gone on to Caspi, and we'd lost them in the walk back, in the retreat.
So they didn't try any rough stuff?
No. Didn't have any rough stuff, not from the Italians at all.
So when you got to Zaragoza, were you paraded through the streets?
Yes, we were paraded through the streets, marched along the streets anyway, as prisoners. But we were called in to a group of, we were told that we were going to another place, another camp, San Pedro de Candelina, near San Pedro at Burgos. And we would go there and we'd wait. When we'd been there a while, we would send home to their own homes, but these were Italian. They were Spaniards who was tortured at the meeting, and we weren't very pleased with them because they were really rough.
In what way?
They walk about with sticks, thick sticks, and they lash you the slightest chance they had. They just, if you denounce them correctly, they slash you. And they wouldn't worry where they hit you across the head or across the face, they just hit you with the sticks. In fact, when we got to, they took us then to Burgos, to this San Pedro camp, and they were really nasty. It was a camp, and it was in charge of the Spaniards were in charge of it, and they were really vicious to us. And all day long, there was one person who was a sergeant among the Spaniards, so I think, must have been a bit mad, a bit stupid in one way, because he talked to you nicely, you think he's friendly to you. Next moment, he'd lash you about the head with the stick he was using. You just do things like that. And just for nothing at all, next moment, he'd be as nice as anything.
Was anybody seriously injured?
Well, some were badly hit. They were across the face or across the head by the sticks, so badly hurt. And all your arms were banged. And in fact, they shot one or two chaps. They took them to Burgos headquarters for some reason. They picked them out and they were taken to Burgos. They were executed in Burgos. And I remember one day we were in the camp in San Pedro, and the British officer in charge of Spain, come to see us in the camp, and he asked quite a few questions about what was happening, and we told him what about certain people being taken into Burgos. One of my friends, a chap I used to know, he lived in Edinburgh, named Rutherford, Jimmy Rutherford, he was taken off to Burgos as well, and Jim and Frank Ryan, who was the leader of the Irish people out there, they were taken off to Burgos, and this immediately this English representative got into his car and said he'd be back as soon as possible, and he drove off to Burgos to find out about them, and he came back to us late in that afternoon and told us he was sorry because Burgos, but they'd already shot Jimmy Rutherford, but had been able to save Frank Ryan. Stop him being...